going to tell you, this can totally change your life. Totally. These couple chapters we're talking about today, as much as you've enjoyed every other call around Michael Oliver's book, I'm going to tell you, these are the most critical in my mind. Because they're truly about the heart and core of his system of natural selling. It's truly about asking the right questions at the right time. It's about totally putting the focus on the other person and really focusing on listening to them by asking the right questions. Because if you're asking the wrong questions or you're asking about the wrong time, listening to the answers is not going to help you move that forward. So it's important to know what those right questions are. And today we're going to talk about a lot of those right questions, and we're going to go over them and over them, and I'm going to give you a lot of ideas. So keep your eyes and ears really wide open in today's talk, and keep your pen working on writing things down, because this is a critical aspect of Michael Oliver's entire system. So let's talk, and one of the things, let me tell you another thing that this really highlighted to me as, you know, and I actually prepared for this call a week ago. I think I told you guys last week that I jumped ahead of myself, and I just fell in love with all this material. I went kind of crazy a week ago Sunday, and so yesterday I got to go back and review it. But the neat thing about it is I'm working on, and a lot of you know, I have a foundation called Changing Environments where we do family coaching. And this is the essence of what we do in family coaching. And I wish, I said to myself, I coached somebody, a family, yesterday afternoon, and I said to myself, I found myself at the end of that coaching session thinking to in my heart of hearts, I wish every one of you could do what I do in those coaching sessions and just experience that. Because when you get into coaching people, it is not about telling them anything. And the experience around just being able to be there opposite them and asking them questions. I just asked questions for an hour and listened to answers. And I watched this person sitting across the table from me just really come totally around. I mean, if you could watch a person come from, when they enter into family coaching, they tend to come from total confusion. And to watch this person come from total confusion, and by the time we were done, there was, of course, tons of tears, there was tons of emotional stuff, but the clarity, that opening of clarity, that light at the end of the tunnel that this person started seeing, and it wasn't Mary Jo telling them anything. And that's exactly what this natural selling process is about. It's the core of what's here, but it's also the core of how we work with people in family coaching, because the answers are within the person. The reason they can't see them is for 101 reasons, but a lot of it has to do with too close to the problem. They're right in the midst of it. Their emotions are running the show. They can't remove themselves and look from outside in. So it's just, all we're doing is trying to bring some clarity and allow them to see the answer that is truly within them to start with. So that's, with that premise, that's kind of how I want to open this call today, to get everybody to understand that when you're working with people, when you're working with potential partners or people that you can help, the most important thing is to, what, get them to see themselves in their present situation with tremendous clarity. And if they don't get that clarity around their present situation, you're not going to help them move forward, because they can't see the light of day to move forward. So, and that's the most powerful thing. You can motivate people, you can push people, you can manipulate people. That's old-time selling. But the idea is, why not get them to be self-motivated to make a difference? And that's what natural selling is about. Okay, so let's dig in. What are they asking questions? Here, I gave you a Rudyard Kipling quote, and this came right out of Michael Oliver's book. It says, I keep 6 wise-serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names were what and why and when and how and where and who. I love that. So what are we talking about? Asking questions, okay? And the important thing for you to acknowledge is that you're not the one doing the selling. The tools that you use. A lot of you guys remember when they took all our tools away and everybody went, oh, my gosh, and you froze? and I'm not pointing a finger at you, I'm saying as a generic you, we, maybe use the terminology we as an aggregation of Manatech Associates froze for almost a year when they took all our tools away. And the reason for that is that we had what? Become totally dependent on tools to do the selling. And your tools are not, is you personally. You are the one building relationships. You are the one who are at the basic, you know, premise of why people are going to move forward. It's because you're going to help them see the need to move forward. The tools only operate as a support system to you. So what we're talking about here is digging in and learning about others, because as you learn about others and you ask questions and you learn, the law of reciprocity is clear to us that as we ask questions and learn about others, others are going to be interested in us. That's just a universal law. It's called the law of reciprocity. So what's our job? Is to discover. It's to discover. So we're using asking questions in a discovery type mode. So we explore circumstances in their lives that create the needs. Make sure they see that need. And if they don't see a need, then it's not a rejection. It's just that, you know, that's one of the first things we try to uncover. Is there a need? That's one of the issues that you're trying to resolve. Is there a need? And we need discovery questions to do that. So, but in order to get power, one of the statements he makes is in order to get powerful answers, we need to have powerful questions. And what are powerful questions? Well, powerful questions are questions, first and foremost, that focus on the other person. Focus not on the sale, but focus on the person. So don't focus on the sale, focus on the person, and focus on whether there is a sale to be made. And the only way you're going to find out if there's a sale to be made is whether the person, what, perceives a need. And that's what we do, is we ask questions about their present reality, see if they relate back to their present reality to see what the need is there. And that just comes from asking great questions to the person, gathering implications. And so I put a list right out of the book that kind of says, what do good questions do? And, you know, they gather information. In other words, we're exploring whether there's a need. They enable you to understand the priorities of each of the needs. In other words, what's their priority? What is most important to the person? So you need to have questions that establish that. Analyze and diagnose. And the causes, what you're looking for there is the causes of the need. So you know what to say when you finally get into your presentation stage, you'll know what to say if you understand the causes of the need that the person has. So good questions are like a good stethoscope. They're always in a discovery type site. You're trying to learn more and more information. They always involve the other person because that makes them part of the process. They internally motivate the person you're talking with. And I love the statement he makes in his book. He says, you can ask and listen people. Listen, it's not a misstatement. You can ask and listen people into changing. That's what I do in family coaching. You can ask and listen people into changing. Write that down on your piece of paper. It's so powerful. You can ask and listen people into changing. So many of you are out there trying to motivate, manipulate, you know, convince, cajole. That's not what this is about. It's about asking and listening people into changing. And the concept of putting you in control isn't for the purpose of power and manipulating people, but it's putting you in control because you want to maintain some kind of control over the direction of the conversation. But questions allow you to do that because every question you ask puts the conversation into a certain direction. Yeah, questions paint a picture of everything that they want in life. Questions are for the other person. Their answers can give them a different perspective. Understand, you can ask and listen people into changing. When you ask specific questions, what happens is the answers give people a different perspective. It allows them to see things differently. And that's what you're there to do. Open up consequences. And that's a consequence of them making or not making a decision to move forward. So they understand consequences. Good questions create value in you and what you have to offer. And people will buy into you based on the strength of how much you understand them. That makes sense to you. People will buy into you based on the strength of how much you understand them. So when you're asking, you go, well, if you, somebody asks you what you do, for example, you can say, well, what we do is help people set up their own home-based businesses so that they can get start taking care of themselves and their families once again. And you'd immediately follow up, is this something you're looking for? So when they understand what you do, then you can approach and say, so is this something you're looking for? So, what do you need to do? Create value in you and what you represent. So questions allow you to do that. And then just the basic ones about reducing anxiety, clearing up fuzzy thinking, oh my gosh, we have such a lack of clarity. Is it easy for you to bring clarity in somebody else's life when you come from confusion? Think about that answer. And then look at your life and say, where am I in confusion? And understand that confusion is typically just a result of your resistance. Confusion is a result of your resistance. So when you go into confusion, what are you resisting? So if it's hard if you don't working with to clear up their fuzzy thinking. So you need to come from clarity yourself. Okay, so anyway, those are the kind of things. So just understand that that's the basic foundation for good questions, all of those ideas of what good questions. And the other aspect of asking good questions, these are just laying the foundation for you as we go forward, is instead of making statements, turn your knowledge into questions. And, you know, we love to spew knowledge because we want to look good. Well, again, if the focus is on the other person, why do you need to look good? If the focus is on the other person, why are you worried about looking good? So get out of looking good and looking great and thinking you have to spew all this incredible knowledge. And we get so stuck in that. So I just wrote out some examples in the outline about how do I change my knowledge into questions. So instead of saying, my business opportunity provides financial freedom, you're going to say what? Is having financial freedom for yourself and your family important to you? See the difference? Instead of exerting yourself and pushing people, you're asking questions. You're converting a statement into a question. So get rid of making statements and get into question asking. Look at your presentation style and see where you can do that. I give you three examples, and probably all of them apply to how you typically present. So resort back to asking questions. Like, what would you do if you had a steady income coming in without having to work for somebody else? It's an intriguing question. Those are the kind of questions that help people start thinking, get them thinking in a different direction. All your questions, basically, as Michael says, he says they come from two sources, the training we're doing in Michael Oliver's book, which we got tons of questions that come out of that, and also the second concept is the ones you ask in response to the answers of your prior questions. In other words, as you ask questions, their answers will open you up to further questions. And this is where some of you panic. The reason you panic is you're not listening to what they're saying. If you listen to what they say, you will invariably come up with more questions. But what's on your brain is you can't wait to pounce on something they say. Oh, my life is fine, but, you know, my daughter just got diagnosed with lupus. And you go, oh, my gosh, do we have a solution for that? Bah, 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 bah. Oh, my God. You overwhelm me. Right away, what are you doing? You're selling. You're totally selling because you're impatient. You want to pounce. And that's the way we typically run in our Manatech business. But instead of pouncing, we go, oh, my gosh, how are you tackling that problem? And you start asking about consequences, and you start asking more questions. You don't pounce at your first opportunity. You haven't developed enough relational premising between the two of you. Where's the heart-to-heart communication? All you're doing is pouncing. So no more pouncing, right? But when they make a statement, when they answer a question, how's your family doing, and you get a response like that, now you come up with other questions about, so what are you going to do about that? I see the pain and the frustration you're going through. See how you tie it into heart, go into heart, get into emotions around it, and ask them how they're going to tackle the problem. What are they doing about it? What fun that is then to take it to another level, and you can get into that, and now you're building rapport. Now you're establishing that emotional connectiveness that allows you to move forward. Because now you're no longer selling. What are you doing? You're really getting into the core of the problem, because people buy from you based on the strength of how much you understand them. You haven't, when you pounce on the word lupus, you're not caring about understanding them. You're just caring about selling. When you ask them what they're going to do about it, how they're feeling about it, understand she grappling with it, you're getting into understanding. So understand the plight they're in. Don't assume you know, because you don't. If you're not going through that exact situation, even if you're going through the exact, you still don't know with how they're viewing it compared to how you would view it. So dig deep. That's what it is. So again, where our questions come from, he gives us a lot of great ideas on questions to ask, but the next set of questions comes from answers you get from the questions you initially ask. And his concept here is to practice, practice, practice. In other words, have conversations with yourself. Start asking questions with yourself. Just go on and asking questions. That's why I wish all of you could be in the dojo with me in family coaching, so you could ask those questions. You could see how it works and how incredibly effective this approach is. It would so support you. Find a partner and start practicing conversations with them, asking questions. You know, that's how you perfect this approach, is by practice. So you can do it with yourself in the mirror. You can get a buddy in your organization or downline or upline and say, can we just spend like a half an hour practicing? I want to practice some of the skills I've learned and some of the techniques I've learned. Not skills, because you develop skills, but some of the techniques I've learned from Michael Oliver's book. And just practice it and see what happens. An important thing is that you always keep in your mind, you always want to remember what the premises behind Michael Oliver's system. There are four basic principles that form the foundation of the system. And we've been over them. We went over them in the intro section, but let me reiterate them for you. Number one, helping other people solve their problems. Number two, listening to what is being meant, not just what is being said. Number three, asking the right questions at the right time. That's our topic today. And number four, feeding back what you think you heard they want. Those are the four principles that form the foundation for natural selling. And then, of course, he has five stages. We have five stages, right, of dialogue. There's five stages in a conversational framework. Number one is the connecting stage, and we're about to jump into that one. Number two is discovering and listening. Number three is transitioning. Number four is presenting. And number five is committing and supporting. So let's move on. What we're going to talk about today is the first three. We're going to talk about connecting stage, the discovering and listening stage, and number three, the transitioning stage. And then next Monday, we're going to finish off with the presenting stage and the committing and supporting stage. All right? So let's move on. We're ready to go. Connecting stage. Wow. How many of you could value this if you could really get this down? How do I start effective conversations? Woo, big topic, big topic. First and foremost, understand one thing. There are no strangers in this world, just friends you have not met yet. And I think that's more my philosophy. I'm not sure I found that in the book, but that's something that I just take on in life. Is this a hard thing for some of you to take on? I'm going to suggest, if this is tough for you, one of the issues you've got going on in your life is called trust. And you want to tackle that issue. Something happened in your life somewhere. You're carrying it in a knapsack as a rock on your back around not trusting people. And it's your past controlling your future. And if today is the first day of the rest of your life, why are you going to let your past control your future? Unless you guys are really so proud of your past, you can't wait to let it control your future, I would say it's time to sling it. Get rid of it. Drop the knapsack, get rid of the rocks, empty out what you're carrying because it's not serving you in moving forward. And even those of us that can look back at our past and say, wow, what a terrific results we've created, let me tell you, people, there's nothing I want more for my life than a better future. Every day I work towards a better future because I know that, you know, I come from that core principle, like many of you do, that anything is possible through him. And that means that we can create incredible things the rest of our life on earth So let's open the possibilities to make that happen. And if I'm carrying a knapsack with rocks in the back, I'm not going to open up those avenues to free me to receive that abundance that's on store and to create a better life for other people, since I'm tied to my own past. So take it on. There are no strangers in life, just friends you have not met yet. You will come from a totally different place when you're out there talking to people. The first words that you say to someone can create an incredible atmosphere of openness if it's done correctly. So we want to start by asking good questions. And connecting questions, why connecting questions? Because connecting questions are what get you started with focusing on the other person. So what happens when you start focusing, when you ask connecting questions, focusing on another person, there's no fear or anxiety around selling that typically ties directly to when you try to sell people things. So you get rid of that whole fear and anxiety issue, and you're working directly with, hey, I get to just be in a position of helping this person, empowering this person to make great decisions about how they go forward. So immediately, you know, when a lot of people talk about conversational style and they say, you know, the first thing you want to do is find a common bond with somebody. Well, I'm going to suggest, as does Michael Oliver, that when you ask questions about the other person, you don't have to find a common bond, because the immediate common bond is them. You're interested in them. You've got the common bond. Because one thing that you know the other person is interested in themselves, right? We all have self-interest. So when you can start a conversation by focusing on the other person, you've immediately established a common bond. So it relieves you of that concept of finding that common bond. A good way of looking at it for some of you who feel, you know, like you're always in search of a commonality. You don't have to be in search. You have it right first question out of the box if you ask them a question about them and focus on them. It also allows you, when you start asking questions about them, you get to listen to them and you can hear the changes that occur. Their voice will change, their stance will change, their body language will change, because as you come across friendly, caring, and professional, they will shift. It's that, again, the law of reciprocity. As you sow, so shall you reap. As you come across caring and understanding and desirous, they're going to shift with you. So what you're doing is you're building rapport before you get into you, so they see value in you. Remember the concept? What did he say? People buy into you based on the strength of how much you understand them. Huge statement. So care about them, come professional, build rapport, and they will see value in you. Now, there's four ways to start a conversation, and let's go through those four. Number one is you make a statement. So if you're making a statement, what are you really doing? You're giving somebody your opinion. I'm going to suggest to you, when you do that, who cares? Because if this whole concept of natural selling is about focusing on the other person, why does your opinion matter? It's only your opinion. So right away you're going to get into a debate about whether you're right or wrong and dead and on and on and on. And, you don't want to get into that kind of conversation because it's more of an adversarial type conversation than anything. It doesn't matter. So, number one, you want to cross that off. You don't want to start a conversation by you making a statement. Number two, they make a statement. So what happens is they start talking and make a statement about what is their statement? Their opinion. And where does their opinion come from? Their reality. Woo! Highlight that, people. Now you have an open door. Now, some of you, when somebody makes a statement to you in starting a conversation, you really want to convince them they're wrong. So you get into a debate with them. Not. What you want to do when somebody else makes a statement is you want to pursue that statement because it's part of their present reality. So instead of making them wrong or coming from total agreement with them, pursue the statement. So you can start asking questions about why it is that they feel that way, or how did you come up with that conclusion? You're going to ask them questions, not attack questions, but just, you know, you can say, even though you disagree with their statement, you could say, you know, that's kind of intriguing what you said. Could you kind of explain to me how you came to that conclusion? So you're expressing a true, you know, interest in them. For some of you, it's really hard because some people out there are so opinionated that they can't open their eyes to other possibilities. And if you can't receive or respect another person for their opinions, then this probably isn't going to help you because you're stuck. But you're not going to be very effective in your natural selling approach. And you're sure as heck not going to help people move forward in their lives if you always are making them wrong. So the idea here is that's okay to start a conversation by listening to somebody making a statement. It's what do you do in response to the statement? The statement is again, their opinion. It's not fact. It's their opinion. And you can use it as a springboard to do what? Go into your discovery stage about what is it that causes them to have that attitude, right? So that's kind of what you can do. You can jump, but again, it's still not the best way to start a conversation, but it's a way that opens the door as long as you respond to it appropriately. Don't get defensive. Don't make them wrong. Don't get into debates. What you do is you use it as a springboard to do discovery. The third way to start a conversation is you ask them a question. And this is, of course, our number one way. You ask them a question. Focus on them. They feel great. Because why? They're at the center of the focus. And that's what everybody wants to be, at the center of the focus, because that's their number one topic of conversation is themselves. And the fourth way to start a conversation is they ask you a question. Now, when somebody asks you a question, you usually like to go into your presentation mode. Whoa, remember... Hey, there are five stages in the conversation mode. Everybody remember, we just talked about them. And the presentation stage is stage four. So if you jump into stage four, the minute a conversation starts, you have gone past stage one, stage two, and stage three. People, this is critical. This is like doing the alphabet. In order to get to E, you got to go through A, B, C, D first. This is exactly what this whole book is about. It's about teaching you to be patient and to take each stage as it comes along. So you must get back to the connecting stage. So when people ask a question, you go, oh my gosh, here I'm getting into presentation mode, too fast, too quick, I'm being impatient, I can't go there now because I'm already presenting solutions before I even understand if there's even a need that exists. Because I'm assuming a need, because that's what somebody told me, that everybody needs Ambertose, so I'm going to just assume they need it, and I'm going to just nail them to a cross until they understand that they need it. Does that sound like some of the way you've presented in the past? Well, hopefully after this Michael Oliver class, you won't do that anymore, because my next question is, how's it working for you? So when somebody asks a question, what do you do with it? Well, the first thing you do when somebody asks you a question, no matter what it is you ask them to make sure that you understand the question. You acknowledge the question, and then you ask a question after you've answered it. So you go, acknowledging a question would be something like, I'd love to reply to that, but before I do, let me understand why you're asking it. Isn't that great? I'd love to reply to that. See, how many of you have thought about replying to a question that way? You reply to a question because you have the answers and you want to be right. You want to show them how much you know. That's all coming from ego. It's all coming from pride. It's all coming from, it's all about me looking good. Remember, where's the focus in natural selling? On them. So when they ask a question, you want to respond with a question. Acknowledge the question, but find out why they might be asking that question. Focus back on them. So what you're doing is you're flipping it around. You're putting the focus back on the other person. So you can ask for clarification. Because people really love to talk about themselves. also make sure you redirect it. That's the purpose of that. But again, getting back into question mode, see what you've done is you've taken their question and you've converted into you asking a question to get started. Okay, everybody get that clear? Any questions about that? It's gigantic. So how are you going to start all conversations from now on? You're going to ask questions. If they make a statement or they ask a question, what are you going to do? You're going to get back into you asking questions. It's about them. The focus is on them, not on you. So put the focus back on them. When you're talking to people, make sure, as you're asking these questions, going through this, making sure you only have positive thoughts. A lot of you jump to conclusions about what people are thinking. Trust me, you have no idea what they're thinking. All that is that little voice in your head, and you need to get Shad Helmstetter's book on what to say to yourself when you talk to yourself and read it over and over and over and over again, because you're going into self-destructive mode when you listen to that little voice in your head. You want to reprogram that little voice to only come from positive. So, because if you think negative, you're going to create it. What is this again? It's the same law we've already been talking about, the law of reciprocity, right? So you really are going to, you're going to create what you do. And here's what he wrote in his book. I love this, and let me just read it to you quickly. Watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. And watch your character, it becomes your destiny. Notice the connectedness between your thoughts and your destiny. Thoughts become words, words become actions, actions become habits, habits become character, and character becomes your destiny. Okay? And I love that. I think that's a great statement there that just really clarifies for you. So, and I emphasize this all the time. And I've been working with Lydia for 5 years around wording. And, you know, it's incredible how rare it is today that she comes up. The person she's become in 5 years is remarkable compared to what I knew when I first met her. But it was the power of words, and the power of words is so critical, as are the power of thoughts, because the thoughts is the underlying concept of how those words are created. So we need to have positive thoughts, which create positive words. And what a huge difference in our lives that we can create if we just start really working on our thinking process, and that changes our talking process, which changes our actions, which change our habits, which create better character and create an incredible destiny for us. Now, the other thing he brings up in the book is the quit waiting to be good. You know, we all sit back and we say, okay, I'm just going to, you know, as soon as I do this, or I do this, or if I finally get to this, da-da-da-da-da. And it's incredulous how much emphasis we put if only. And I'm going to suggest this goes back to something I taught at the Pathway class this Saturday. It's called be, do, have. If you understand that concept, it's overwhelming. Most of us operate from do, have, be. We do in order to have so that we can be. We do in order to have so we can be. We've got it all backwards. What we need to do is step into the beingness of the direction of our life. So if you're sitting out there saying, Mary Jo, I want to be presidential, but you know, I can't. If only this would have happened. If only my ship would hit the dock. As I suggested on Saturday, every one of your ships is at the dock. Every single one of your ships is at the dock. There isn't if only. You make that up in your life. It's just excuses. It's rationalization. Because every one of your ships is at the dock. What we need to do is start stepping into it. So if you say to me, Mary Jo, I really want to make presidential, and I'm going to do it, you know, in X number of months, and da-da-da-da-da, and with Osoline, I know I can get there. With Bounce Back, I can get there. With skincare, I can get there. With the Optimal Support Packs, I can get there. With all of it together, I can really get there. Which is part of the strategic plans that we're drafting, which is so much fun because you get to tie in what are the vehicles you're going to use to get there. what I want you to do with the be, do, have scenario is step into I am presidential. So every day when you're questioning what action to take, the first thing out of your brain goes, if I were presidential today, what would I do? If you start living your life like that, you are truly living be, do, have. Because you're going to start acting as presidential and you're going to soon have presidential. Be, do, have. If I were presidential today, what would I do? Now, some of you start looking at your life today and say, if you were presidential today, what would you do? And I suggest it'd be something probably different than what you plan on your agenda today. So start changing that agenda to be presidential today. And that's really what helps people get where they want to go in life. It's called be, do, have. So quit waiting to be good. Be today. Be in the moment today. Changing your approach will change other people's response to you. And that's about also being outwardly abundant. If you're being outwardly abundant, the abundance you're looking for will flow freely to you. But what is our tendency? To be scarce, to come from scarcity. And you're outwardly scarce, you're going to attract a lot of scarcity in your life. And that's what some of you can look like, what you've attracted so far in your life. It's scarcity. And, you know, I gave a teaching yesterday. I teach a Sunday school class, and some of you are very familiar with this and some aren't, but it's the parable of the talents. And for the first, how many times have we read the parable of the talents and listened to teachings on it? I don't know how many times. So many. And yesterday was the first time, or I should say Saturday night, as I was preparing to teach that, it was the first time. This is what I love so much about biblical scripture, is that every single time you read it and you prepare in it or teach it, it's something always new. The Lord gives you some new enlightenment around the languaging. It was the first time in my life that I've looked at that scripture and come to the conclusion that it's all about scarcity. Because why? Because the guy who got five talents went out and he put it at risk and created five more so he could give his master 10. The guy who was awarded two talents, he went out and he put it at risk and he created two more and he gave his he now had four for his master. But the guy who only got one talent, in the scripture it says he was afraid. Oh my gosh. Fear. That's the heart and soul of scarcity mentality, is fear. This guy got one talent and he had so much fear. What did he do with his talent? He went and he dug it in the ground and buried it. So then when the master came back, you know what he could do? He could dig in the ground and give it back to his master. Scarcity creates scarcity. Isn't that incredible? Out of the parable of the talents. Just to share that with you, it's incredible insight. But that's it. It's about the law of reciprocity. So what are you doing with your talents? Are you burying it in the dirt? And that's what we're talking about here. Keeping the positive thoughts. And we're talking about outwardly abundant. The abundance you're looking for will freely flow to you. Your attitude around your business is so crucial, too, because one of the things that Michael Oliver talks about is, you know, this is one business that when you're out there in this business, what do you get? You get in this business, what you get to do is you have the rights to sell the rights to somebody else who can do the same thing you're doing. Every other business is about what? Selling product or moving product or getting things out in the marketplace. What you're doing is you have the ability to give somebody else the same rights you have to have an incredible business to do exactly what you're doing. That's a unique, powerful, and incredibly valuable asset. So start viewing what you're doing with that in mind instead of what you're doing today. How to introduce yourself? Don't tell them what you do. This does not connect. Let them what? Let them know how what you do helps other people. So it's a little different approach. So don't tell them what you do. Let them know how what you do helps other people. So what does this kind of look like to you? Well, you know, people nowadays are finding it harder to get ahead. with all the, you know, recessionary trends, the loss of 605,000 jobs lost already this year, you know, our greatest financial crisis perhaps on this country since the Great Depression, the lack of job security and the higher cost of living between gas prices and energy prices. Well, you see what they're setting it up. You know how they're tying it to a current existence, current present reality that we know everybody's facing. Well, what I do is help them set up their own businesses so they can start taking care of themselves and their families once again. Get it? So you don't tell them what you do. You tell them, you let them know how what you do helps other people. How are you phrasing what you do in light of expressing it in a way that it shows how much you're helping other people? Critical languaging. So look at that. How do you answer that question, what do you do? Are you phrasing it in making sure they know how what you do helps other people? And after you get done with telling them that, you don't say, let me ask you, what do you do? Again, you refocus it back on the other person. You've already laid the seed. You've put the foundation out there. They can come back and go, oh, my gosh, this is good. You want to ask, what do they do? It's the essence of natural selling, is painting the picture of how what you do helps other people. So definitionally, that's what you want to do. When you look at mechanics of this, it's problem, solution, question. Problem, solution, question. Notice the response. I presented problem. You know how other people today are finding it nowadays, are finding it harder and harder to get ahead because we're facing one of the greatest recessionary times in the history of our country. 605,000 people already lost their jobs and only more to come. The greatest financial crisis. Investment banking as an industry is basically non-existent today in our country. You know, on and on. I mean, there's just a lot of things. The cost, how to make ends meet when energy prices and food prices are skyrocketing. So you get to talk about the reality, right? It's about what? Problem. Talk about the problem. The solution. Well, what I do is help people. Dot, dot, dot. Well, what I do is help people. Dot, dot, dot. You help people what? Well, what I do is help people start their own part-time business, get their lives back in control, have time to spend with their families, do the things they want to do, develop another income, replace their present job. It could be any of those things. But see, that's getting into solution. And see, this, the issue here is that that really is the best stated, okay, when you get a point where you understand what their need is. Because you can hardly give them a solution that correlates and corresponds exactly what they're looking for unless you've already found out their need. So that's why we play this Sherlock Holmes. Ask questions to find out if there is a need. If, remember, first thing, is there a need? Because if there's not a need, then you're not needed in that situation. It's not, you don't have a solution for them because they don't have the need. Okay? And then back at the end, you get the question at the final end. So you have problem, solution, question. Maybe I could be of help to you. That's the third aspect of it. So there's your mechanics in that whole thing. But you're taking this already through the connecting stage to discovery stage because you haven't found their need yet, but it just gives you an idea of how the mechanics work in this whole setup. You want to make sure that you present the problem first, a problem that they related to somewhere in your discovery process is that how you do it. Getting into your presentation stage, okay, this is a good thing that they talk about. When you get into your presentation stage, of course, and again, that's not the connecting stage, the presentation stage, you want to not present. So how do I get into my present stage by not presenting? You make the statement, before I get started, let me ask you a few questions so I can understand that what you might be looking for. So you're still, what is this? You're still trying to find out information. So you, rather than jumping right into presentation, you're finding information. It's always about inquiry, always asking questions. If you're responding to ads or materials you sent, if you send people materials or you're responding to an ad that was in the magazine, somebody calls you back, you don't go, hey, this is what we're all about and here's my solution for you. No. What attracted you to the ad? Was there anything else that attracted you? Then start asking them to respond in their background questions. Follow me? Starting conversations with a stranger. Again, we start off with what? We start off with questions about them, background questions about them. If you send somebody information in the mail, how do you respond to them? You first of all, hey, this is Mary Jo calling back, You know, you recently asked me for some information. Did you get a chance to look at it? Great. Can I ask you, what was it that interested you in getting the information from us? Got it? Find their need. You're pursuing their need. This is, you know, pursuing information. What's your number one goal? Is there a need? If they recognize it first, you're not telling them. Don't tell people what they need. Let them recognize it. And you can do that by what? Pursue the questions. So you definitely want to pursue those questions. If you're calling friends that you've, well, I haven't talked to in a while, you know, and maybe you've talked to them, like, and say that. Well, let's say you've talked to people and they had a challenge in their life or something like that. Don't be impatient about it, but just start opening up. You can say, I was thinking about the challenge you were talking about the other day, and I was wondering how that was going. See how I'm not impatient. I'm going to let that settle for a day. I don't have to solve a problem today for them because that's too quick. Now I'm selling instead of contemplating with them. You know, I've been concerned about that health problem you've had for some while, and I might have found something for you. But before I get into that, remind me about what's happening. Then I'll have a better idea how to address it. You know, you were talking about that lack of self-fulfillment at work the other day. Well, I might have found something that could be the answer for you. But let me ask you, how serious is the situation at work? See, you're pursuing and finding more and more information. It's all about pursuing and finding more information. What can I use? What can I? Some of you don't want to know that because you're so impatient. Again, you want to sell, sell, sell. You have a solution right now. What? You don't have enough information. You haven't built the core. You haven't gotten to the connecting stage. You haven't fully connected with them. You haven't built that rapport. So critical is to ask questions and get all of the information you possibly can. This applies to speaking with strangers. It applies to speaking, you know, with anyone, cold calls as well. When you make cold calls, the same thing applies. All of these apply in each situation. So when you're making a cold call, you know, you first say, hey, this is so-and-so, you know, I'm with company XYZ. I hope I've caught you at a good time. Well, the reason I'm calling is, well, you know, how many people today are finding it harder to make and keep the money they earn with the lack of job security, corporate, and high taxes? Well, what I do is help them out. Does this strike a chord with you? Does this sound like something could be of interest to you? So you start asking questions about them. What is going on in their life? And let them start talking. So it's about getting people to start addressing their issues. That is what the connecting stage is all about, is about getting people to what? Talk about what's going on in their life so you're finding out what's going on, what issues are driving them, what their need is. So hopefully this helps you guys on questioning, questioning, question, question. Don't jump in. And the number one problem we have, I'm going to tell you, is called impatience. We want to sell that all-star pack in 24 seconds or less, and that is so wrong. This is a business about building relationships. So keep at the core of your understanding what people buy from you based on the strength of how much you understand them. So what is your goal? To understand the other person. And that doesn't mean superficial. The next stage we're going to talk about is discovery stage. Wow, we're getting short on time. Let me see if I can get through this for you. If not, we'll finish it off next Monday. The discovery stage is really about getting to the heart-to-heart conversations that you're really developing more and more what is going on, so hearing their heart. And you're using dialogue instead of monologue that allows your agenda to merely kind of guide you into getting three conclusions. You need to get to one of these conclusions. Number one, is there a need or is there a need? Is there, if there's no need, you need to get to that conclusion. Number two, if there is a need, is there a desire to change? Yes or no. So it's number one is no need. You're going to either conclude there is no need. Number two, you're going to conclude there's a need, but the person doesn't desire to change. Or number three, there's a need and I found a desire to change. One of those three things. And that's your discovery stage. So it's different than connecting stage because you're not just asking questions to find more and more about the person. You have a specific agenda for yourself to discover about the need. Because this is almost like qualifying a person. If there's no need, then there's no purpose for you to go into a solution or presentation stage, right? So you need to discover that. If there is a need but the person doesn't want to change, then you don't have a need to do presentation or solution. And don't do it because you tell them they have a need. You telling others they have needs is not working. I guarantee it. Or it's working only because you manipulate people and they're the ones that become zeros in your downline. You want people to take these products the rest of their lives. And if they don't see the need and they don't present the need and they don't come around to understand it and they don't come around to the point where they're telling you, I want to do something about it, you forcing them to do something about it isn't going to make it happen, at least not long term. So you're using the discovery stage to build a deeper relationship. You want to hear their story, feel their pain, their needs, their emotion behind the why, determine if they really want to change and if you can help them. So this helps clarify, it gets rid of objections. It really rids objections. You'll have no objections if you go through the discovery stage. It doesn't exist. Because they can't object to you doing a presentation if they don't have a need in the first place and they don't want to change. The reason people object to your presentation is because you never found their need and you never found whether they wanted to change or not. The five discovery stage questions are as follows. Get these down. Number one, background questions. What is your present situation or how did you get to this point in your life? So you can use form. Again, family, occupation, recreation, money. Whenever you use form or those questions around those issues, you're always going to uncover. You're always discovering and you're always letting them talk about themselves and eventually some need will come up, whether they talk about lupus or those are background questions, okay? It's part of discovery. Need awareness, development questions. Do you like your current situation? So what you're doing is turning their objective facts that they've given you, oh, I'm currently working at so-and-so. Do you like what you're doing today? So now you're converting their fact into subjective. You're asking what their feelings are about it. You're getting into their subjective side. What do or don't you like about your current situation? You should be just as equally happy if they like their current situation as if they don't like their current situation. Some of you can't wait to talk about why they don't like their because you just know you have the answer. Get out of your agenda and what? You're in discovery stage. Now, some people, I put down here, people have two truths. They love their money and their job, okay? So some people might tell you, but they hate the pressure and lack of fulfillment. So you can have two truths going on, and some of you just you wait till you hear one of them instead of finding the true truth behind it. So you want to find out about the truth. So you go, what do you like about your work? Why do you like that? So you can find out what makes that you tick, what makes them like it. Is there anything else you like about your work? And why do you like that? Why is doing all of that important to you? How does it make you feel doing that? How does it make you feel? Notice the conversion into heart. You're going into emotions. What would you change about your job if you could? Isn't that an intriguing question? Now you're going to find it. So people say, I love my work. I love it because I can make a lot of money and it gives me all these things. And then it says, well, if there could be something you could change about your job, what would that be? And I go, oh, man, I'm going to tell you, I hate the pressure. I just feel there's some lack of fulfillment. I don't feel like I'm on a mission. I'm going, wow. And then you start digging into it. Why is that important to you? Well, because, you know, I want to live a purposeful life. I don't want to die with a big question mark on my tombstone. How do you feel about that? Well, so you're very patient. Notice the patience that you're asking these questions, and you're patient about responses. But you're really getting to the heart of the person. You're getting beyond their first truth, that they love the money, to their second truth, that they hate the pressure and the lack of fulfillment. And that's a beautiful thing because, really, the bottom line is, people are more driven by mission than money any day of the week. So now you have them, but you need to do that discovery stage in order to find that. So needs, awareness, development questions. Then you have consequence questions. Huh, these are great. Possible consequences if the issue goes unresolved. What will you do if you don't do anything about your present situation? Have you considered what this might cost your family if you wait until you retire? What if it did not work out? Aren't these great questions? These are just great questions, and it just gives people a meeting. Why do you ask these consequence questions? Because it's about, are they willing to make a change? It's about how important is it for them? Are they willing to make a change? Are they willing to do something different? Do they understand the repercussions of them staying stuck where they are? And some more of those questions are, what will happen if? What if it didn't work out? Would that concern you if? What would it mean if you weren't able to get what you're seeking? Do you see any problems with not having everything you want fulfilled? How would that affect your ability to get the self-fulfillment you said you were seeking? What would it mean to you if you couldn't? What would it worry you if you didn't get? How would you feel if you weren't able to? How would that change? What if you lost? Does that concern you? What will you do if you cannot? Have you thought about the consequences of? Those are all great questions. They're all about consequence questions. So get that clear. That's the third stage of your discovery process. The fourth stage is solution questions. So now you're going after what? Isn't this wonderful? This is part of that family coaching. What would you do about your current situation? Notice how you're getting back to the answer is within the person. There are five reasons why solution questions are so productive. Number one, you get a good picture of how people think and what they are prepared to do. Number two, people tell you, and therefore they're telling themselves, what they see as the explicit advantages and benefits of solving their problems. Number three, their ideas become part of the solution, because it's not so much what they will physically do or have done, it's how they change will make them feel. Number four, they attach their feelings to the desired outcome. And number five, you become associated with the good feelings that come from talking about the answers. Wow. You become associated with the good feelings that come from talking about the answers. So you see, you want to take somebody through a problem. If you leave them stuck in their problem, they're miserable. But if you start talking about solutions, you've now taken it back to a positive atmosphere. Cool, cool, cool. So that's why you want to do it. So you can do, there are plenty of examples of this in terms of going through what the questions are. I know we're running over time, so I don't want to get into it, but you can talk about it. You can, when people talk about negative network marketing experiences, because that comes up a lot, people said, you know, that it's all negative market, you know, I've been in a negative time. And you find out why was their network marketing experience, you know, negative. So let's say somebody says that, and you say, well, why did you find it? And they can say, well, I had a lack of training. We didn't get enough training. And then you can, most of you will go, yes, but that's, we're not like that, and we can give you all the training you want. That's not what you need to do. What you need, appreciating what you've gone through, what if the industry isn't what you think it is? Isn't that incredible? Somebody said something negative about the network marketing industry. Appreciating what you've gone through, so you're appreciating what they've gone through. What if the industry isn't what you think it is? What if your experience was an unfortunate incident? And what if you could get the right training so that you can get what you want out of life? Notice how instead of right away saying, oh, we're not like that, and we can train you, and this is what we do, da-da, you come from solution. Why not rephrase it as a question? What if your experience was an unfortunate incident, and what if you could get the right training so that you can get what you want out of life? Would you consider looking at it again? Wow, that's powerful. Very powerful languaging. That's the languaging you want to start using. Because it's asking them. It's seeing if they're ready to change and do something that is qualifying questions. And this is a confirmation. Are they truly ready for change? Are you prepared to change your current situation if, get it? Isn't that great? So you're going to do qualifying questions about that. And you have many, many one of those. And qualifying questions could be, how important is that to you? Why is that important to you? Is it important for you to solve the problem? Why would you find that so useful? I sense you're not too sure. How do you see it? So you can get, again, qualify. Qualify, qualify, qualify. If you could, what would that mean to you? How would you feel if you could? And you have more and more examples. Is that what you're looking for? Does that look about right to you? Does that work for you? How do you feel about that? Are you okay with that? Would you agree with that? Those are some more end-of-phrase qualifying questions that you can use. All important for you to what? Qualify. Qualify that thing. Make sure what they said is in fact what they mean. Does that work for you? So you always remember to clarify feedback and summarize at each step. This is your blueprint on every discovery stage is the same. So of all five discovery stages, you always clarify, feedback, summarize. Clarify, feedback, summarize. And the last stage we're going to talk about, which is a real one, which is the transitioning stage. Thanks for hanging on with me today. It's a lot of material. Is the transitioning stage. Remember, we talked about connecting stage, discovery stage, transitioning stage. The transitioning stage is really one question to move you to your solution. So once you've gone through the discovery stage and you've done that qualifying question, your next step is transitioning stage. Well, based on what you've told me, I'm doing something that might be what you're looking for. If you're interested, I would be happy to share that with you. How's that for transition? So you're not jumping all over the person. Once again, you're doing one more step. You're transitioning. If you'd be interested, I'd be willing to share it with you. But you've already laid the foundation in the connecting stage and the discovery stage so that now you're ready for that transitioning stage. And they still have an option to say yes or no. They're not rejecting you. You're just finding if that's, once again, are they truly ready to take a change? Are they really ready to look at something different? But by the time you get through the discovery stage, you're going to know whether you even need to go into transitioning stage. This becomes more of a statement that you make just as a matter of course because you already know the answer to it, that they are interested, because through your discovery stage, you're going to have found that out. Okay, great. Got through it. Woo! You guys are great. How does this help you? Anyone? Make a difference. Is this different than how you've been doing your Manatech business to date?
It's terrific, and I'm motivated. I want to go buy the book.
Ah, good. So you can have all those great questions, right?
Yeah.
Totally different approach.
Totally, isn't it?
Totally.
Totally.
Yes, it's going to be fun to practice on friends and people.
Great, and that's what you want to do. Practice. I love the word practice. Practice. That's why I told you guys, I wish you could be in family coaching with me for many reasons because you can help so many people. But the other aspect of it is that's exactly what we do in all of our family coaching sessions.
Mary Jo, could you send out that small little thing that you had talked about where it talked about going from be careful of your character and it becomes your being and da-da-da-da-da?
Absolutely. You mean be careful? You want me to type
I didn't get it all written down. I'd like to have that over my desk.
The thoughts become words. Words become actions. Uh-huh. Actions become habits. Habits become character. Character becomes destiny. I will type that up and send it out. It's wonderful.
Okay.
It's
I would like
wonderful.
To have that over my desk.
Where are you with thoughts and words? Absolutely. But understand that the foundation of all of it is your thought and
right.
then your words. That's the foundation. If you got to clean up thoughts and words. Otherwise, you're not going anywhere.
On how to...
Is the title of this book... Natural selling?
It's called How to Sell Network Marketing Without Fear, Anxiety, or Losing Your Friends by Michael Oliver.
Okay.
And I suggest you buy it on Amazon as a used book. You'll probably get the best price.
Thanks.
Mary Jo,
uh-huh.
Coming from the perspective of being a fairly impatient person, when you shift over to this,
uh-huh.
method of communicating and building a relationship and all of that. Do you find that people that might not really enjoy that process come to enjoy it?
You mean people, you, Russ, yourself, or are you talking about people you're working with?
No, me, myself. If that's
you
not...
will fall in love with it, Russ.
Okay.
You know why? You're just, hey, you're talking to Miss Impatient of the World. I know you find that hard to believe. But I mean, I was extremely impatient for my whole life. In fact, some people say to me that's the number one reason God brought Lydia in my life was to teach me patience. Isn't that an intriguing thing? And I really believe that that's got a tremendous amount of truth to it. I had a lot of impatience in my life. And I can tell you, Russ, that as much as I struggled with this process in my life, it has made me a totally different person who I have much more respect for than I did. Enlightening, and it is so empowering. And I look back at my past, and we can always talk about the rocks in our backpack, and I can only tell you that if I only would have understood this process 50 years ago, how I could have impacted so many more lives in my path. But what's most important to me, as it should be for you, is that if we shift today, how many more people can we impact today and the rest of our life that's going to make such a gigantic difference in this world? And that's why we do it. We fall in love with it because I'm going to tell you, Russ, as you move into it, and it's going to be painful at first because, boy, it's so out of the ordinary. It's just, you feel like a totally, you almost feel like you're out of body experience. You're going to have a hard time. You're going to bite your tongue a lot, so get a lot of bandages for that tongue because it's going to bleed. But but what happens as you get there, the person you become is going to be marvelous. Not that you're not marvelous today, but you're going to love that person much more than you love your person today.
Well, that's equally as important as how many people you affect, I think.
I think so, too.
And, you know, for me, and I'm not going to hog this, but it's not that I don't like people, but I don't really think I've ever felt I liked them enough to care to go through this whole thing.
Right.
And my hope is that in the process of learning it and doing it, I'll just start to open up more to others. And
you will. And you will. And you'll learn, you know, and it gets to the core, Russ. The reason, and I'll tell you, so many of us, the reason that we haven't done that with people outside of our own environment, why we haven't done that with everybody around us is because our focus, we've allowed ourselves to be so self-centered. And I'm not telling you that you're inherently selfish. I'm just telling you that we have so many issues going on in our own life that we become the focus of our life. If we release that, quit being the focus of your life. Focus on other people. And everything that you've ever wanted will come your direction. It really gets to the core of as you sow, so shall you reap. It is not about us. If you can just get over your own circumstances, release those. You know, I understand some of you are coming in this call today with tremendous financial concerns, some, you know, all sorts of concerns in your life about how you're even going to exist the next day. But you're trapped in your circumstances. When you release that, and I don't mean be irresponsible around it, but don't let it control you. Control it. Now you're going to be free to move forward and truly love your neighbor. And that is what creates this greatness in you, and you will shine, you will be that light in this world that you really should have as a passion and desire to be, because that's what we all need to be, is that light for others. And it'll be incredible what you'll create in your own life through that process.
Great. Thank you.
You bet. Anyone else?
Okay,
Marisha? Yeah.
This is Miriam.
Uh-huh. Hi, Miriam.
Hi. What kind of time are you thinking you're committing to each of your conversations like this? It seems quite lengthy.
Uh-huh.
Are you talking days, weeks, hours, minutes?
It's different for each person. It's different for each person because each
person and probably
gonna,
each situation.
Exactly, you understand that each person's going to be different in how they open up to you. But the more open you are to them, the more open they're going to be to you. So as you grapple with that, and of course people have their own issues, right? I mean, you're going to come across just like the programs that run your life and the belief systems you have. Everybody you come across has got a whole set of those. But, you know, as you get real clarity and you become more proficient with the process, I can tell you that it could be one meeting with somebody. You could go to a lunch date and go through this whole process. But it's because you become proficient with the question asking. The more proficient you become, the quicker the process can be, because you're going to be able to be more responsive to what they say in terms of having the next question. But that's why I tell you, practice, practice, practice. And some people aren't going to be willing to open up to you. So it might take, you know, you might be dropping them notes in the mail. And that's why you have a list of potential partners, or, you know, your contact list that, you know, you just keep on file, that you keep working with, because these people are going to be willing to move when they're willing to move. But you forcing and manipulating them, again, how is it working for you? And that's why we tend not to be very good at it. It's love and heart and everything else that needs to come out of you, and that's opening up people. And that's not necessarily a fast process, but again, as you become more proficient with asking questions and you structure the stages, I want you to be so good at this that you can see yourself in the connecting stage. Then you can see yourself hitting the discovery stage, you know what I mean? And then you can see yourself into that transitioning stage. So you can actually see the conversation as it's going along. Because the minute you start a connecting stage and you find yourself in a presenting stage, I want you to go, oops, I skipped two critical stages. And you're going to go back and go, whoa, I got to get back into the discovery stage because I went from connecting to presenting, and that's not going to work. You get it? It becomes a structure of how you interact with people. And you, as long as you follow that structure, you'll be terrific. You'll fall in love with it, because it really is. It's the unfolding of a person's reality that you're working on. You're unfolding their present reality. You're unfolding what they perceive as their need. And you're helping them dig deeper if they have more than one truth, because they're staying at a superficial level with you, and so you help them see a little deeper. And now they're being able to say, wow, here's the consequences if I keep doing what I'm always being doing, and, I'm not willing to take that. Great. Well, you know what? What I do is potentially a solution for you, so if you're interested, I'd be more than happy to share that with you. And they'll be all over you like hotcakes, because you've just taken them all the way through the process where they've been able to conclude for themselves they're not willing to deal with the consequences of not taking action. Neat, neat, neat. It's great. It's a process, and I just know all of you can do it. We just got to commit to it and make it happen. All right, I'm going to let you guys go. I'm going really long, but, I knew this class would be long because the material is so awesome. It's just awesome. It just will really help you. But, again, keep the four principles down pat, and the five stages. Really have clarity around the five stages. Connecting stage, your next stage is discovery stage, then you have the transitioning stage. And then we'll get into presenting and solution stage. So that's great. We'll do those next week. All right. Love you all. Have a great week.
Hey,
and
John,
Don't forget the call tomorrow on Osoline, and keep up all the great work and great attitude. Okay. Love you all. I think this is the end of a isn't this the end of this last week of a period? I think too. So
right.
Yes.
You know, don't forget end of period stuff. Okay.
Mary Jo.
Yeah.
Mary Jo.
Uh huh.
I just want to say that if we look at this as a life change in all our relationships, not just a Manitech deal, I think it'll be easier.
Oh, it is, like, in every part of your life.
Exactly.
I will tell you.
So
that's the premise. Remember, I kicked off today's call based on what I do in family coaching, right?
Yes, exactly. But I mean,
it has nothing. What I do in family coaching has nothing to do with Manitech. Go ahead.
Our family, our children, our husbands, everybody, we could use this. Not
everyone.
Just turn
the phone number for that Osoline call?
Yeah, it should be on your outline.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Look at your outline. It's the first thing I listed on your outline today, okay?
Thank you.
You bet. Okay, love you guys. Terrific.
Bye.
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 The moderator has disconnected. The call will now end.